Nomads of the North, A Story of Romance and Adventure Under the Open Stars, by James Oliver Curwood. Chapter 1. It was late in the month of March, at the dying out of the Eagle Moon, that Neewa, the black bear cub, got his first real look at the world. Noozak, his mother, was an old bear, and like an old person, she was filled with rheumatics and the desire to sleep late. So, instead of taking a short and ordinary nap of 3 months, this particular winter of Neewa's birth, she slept four, which made Neewa, who was born while his mother was sound asleep, a little over 2 months old instead of 6 weeks when they came out of den. In choosing this den, Noozak had gone to a cavern at the crest of a high, barren ridge, and from this point Neewa first looked down into the valley. For a time, coming out of darkness into sunlight, he was blinded. He could hear and smell and feel many things before he could see. And Noozak, as though puzzled at finding warmth and sunshine in place of cold and darkness, stood for many minutes, sniffing the wind and looking down upon her domain. For 2 weeks, an early spring had been working its miracle of change in that wonderful country of the Northland, between Jackson's Knee and the Shamattawa River, and from north to south between God's Lake and the Churchill. It was a splendid world. From the tall pinnacle of rock on which they stood, it looked like a great sea of sunlight, with only here and there patches of white snow where the winter winds had piled it deep. Their ridge rose up out of a great valley. On all sides of them, as far as a man's eye could have reached, there were blue and black patches of forest, the shimmer of lakes still partly frozen, the sunlit sparkle of rivulet and stream, and the greening open spaces out of which rose the perfumes of the earth. These smells drifted up like tonic and food to the nostrils of Noozak, the big bear. Down there the earth was already swelling with life. The buds on the poplars were growing fat and near the bursting point. The grasses were sending out shoots tender and sweet. The kamas were filling with juice. The shooting stars, the dog-tooth violets, and the spring beauties were thrusting themselves up into the warm glow of the sun, inviting Noozak and Neewa to the feast. All these things Noozak smelled with the experience and the knowledge of 20 years of life behind her, the delicious aroma of the spruce and the jackpine, the dank, sweet scent of water-lily roots and swelling bulbs that came from a thawed-out fen at the foot of the ridge, and over all these things, overwhelming their individual sweetnesses in a still greater thrill of life, the smell of the heart itself. And Neewa smelled them. His amazed little body trembled and thrilled for the first time with the excitement of life. A moment before, in darkness, he found himself now in a wonderland of which he had never so much as had a dream. In these few minutes, nature was at work upon him. He possessed no knowledge, but instinct was born within him. He knew this was his world, that the sun and the warmth were for him, and that the sweet things of the earth were inviting him into his heritage. He puckered up his little brown nose and sniffed the air, and the pungency of everything that was sweet and to be yearned for came to him. And he listened. His pointed ears were pricked forward, and up to him came the drone of awakening earth. Even the roots of the grasses must have been singing in their joy, for all through that sunlit valley there was the low and murmuring music of a country that was at peace because it was empty of men. Everywhere was the rippling sound of running water, and he heard strange sounds that he knew was life. The twittering of a rock sparrow.